you're so kind. How you doing, Redcliffe? Oh, wow. You guys are good. Come on. This is going to be a great morning. Everyone's alive. You know why it is? It's because you have to actually be here when it's this cold. Like, you had to go through something this morning. And so you can't... Some of you can kind of... Thanks, band. You guys can go. That's all good. And some of you can kind of roll out of bed, still be half awake, and you make it in here, and you're like, how you doing, church? Oh, good. But this morning, you've been through a battle. So well done for being here this morning. Like Pastor Enrico said, my name is Jason, and I am our creative pastor looking after all things worship. By the way, thank you, team, and thank you, Jesse, for leading us in that praise and worship. Don't you love all of the people who serve in our church? But just this morning, Jesse, just like... There's nothing about Jesse that is his leading that's trying to point people towards himself. He's just trying to point people towards Jesus. And so thank you. That was great, great worship. We appreciate you. But yeah, I'm the worship pastor and I'm also the young adults pastor. So if you haven't, I'm going to go over kind of, let me just try to target some young adults here. If you haven't registered for a retreat, come along. It's going to be amazing. Like Pastor Mark said, we have Amy Bitoccio from, she's a missionary in Japan. She is just incredible. And then we also have Pastor Josh and Laura Douglas from Calvary Church. They're the location pastors up in the Sunshine Coast. And it's going to be a great time in the Gold Coast. We're going to seek God and we're going to just dedicate those couple of days to Him. And it's going to be amazing to see what happens. So please register for that. You know, we've also started, just quickly before I get into my message, this year we started something new kind of in our young adults and in our church, which is a uni ministry. We had an opportunity we saw, which is in USC, Moreton Bay, the University of the Sunshine Coast there in Petrie, that there's a university there that didn't really have much of a church presence or Christian kind of presence in it. We tried to go in before. There was technically a Christian club in the university, but they weren't really doing too much. And so we saw this as an opportunity to be able to go and reach people who aren't being reached. And so part of that is, maybe you remember from Vision Sunday that we brought Kai and Talita on staff for a couple of days to really push into that university and reach people and connect with people. And our goal is to get people saved and to introduce them to Jesus, but also to support the Christians that are in the university. And can I just let you know, church, that while it was a slow start, jumping through all the hoops and doing the things that the university wanted us to do, we have just in the last couple of months seen so much favor with the university. We have an affiliated club with the university, which means that we have their backing, that there's only a certain number of clubs that are affiliated with the university, and we are one of them. And we are a Christian club. It's in the title, and which is actually amazing in itself, because in previous years, people have attempted to start an affiliated Christian club, and they've actually turned it down. And they've actually said, no, we have a Christian club. We don't need another one, even though that club wasn't really doing anything. And so to be able to do that has been awesome. We've been doing hangouts and meetings and things like that. And Kai and Talita have just been doing a fantastic job. And it's awesome, you know, being there sometimes on those Tuesday afternoons. Just so many who would think you put on free food and uni students show up? Like, that's all you have to do. We put on free pizza. We have free drinks there. We've got table tennis, different things like that. And the uni, they just show up. They just appear. And so many, and like majority of them, a lot of them, don't know Jesus, aren't in church. And so just conversations. I remember probably one of the first weeks, Kai had a conversation with a guy who was pretty openly not Christian and had some strong beliefs. And he just had an awesome conversation. Now, the guy didn't give his life to Jesus in that moment, but we know that that is an opening conversation. We know that there's seeds being planted there that before maybe that hadn't been presented to him in a friendly conversational way like Kai had done it. And Kai is just so gifted in doing that with people. We're very blessed with Kai. And so we're seeing fruit. And I believe this is something that we're going to be doing for years to come. We're 6 months in, but we're trying to set something up that's going to be seeing a harvest of souls in that university, and then we're going to see great fruit. We've even had some of the uni students came to church at Warner the other week, which is just amazing. And so please be praying for us there. We are in some ways, if you know what universities are like these days, in enemy territory. And so that makes it even more amazing that we're seeing such fruit already. Amazing. Well, church, I'm excited to preach with you this morning. And funnily enough, going to be preaching out of 2 Corinthians that Pastor Hendrico referenced this morning. But first, I just have a question for you all. I want to take a little bit of a poll, which is, can you please raise your hand if you've ever broken a bone Anyone ever broken a bone? Wow, most of you must have drunk your milk when you were kids, because I reckon most of you have not broken a bone. Ben's definitely broken a bone. He stuck his hand up with great passion. And I've broken a few bones, had a few injuries in my time. I remember when I first broke my leg as a kid, the first time I'd ever broken a bone. And after I got over the excruciating pain and probably stopped crying and screaming, I got a little bit excited. Because I'm thinking, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, I'm going to get a cast. And then people are going to sign the cast. I'm going to be the center of attention in class. And for some reason, I was excited to have crutches as well. I've since learned that crutches are not something to be excited about. Anyone ever use crutches and they like rub those ones with their, and they just rub and it's horrible, but I was excited for it. And then, you know, I wasn't the most coordinated kid, because I also then broke my leg again later. That time it was less exciting. And then I've had some other injuries, dislocated my knee a couple of times, which I wouldn't recommend. And every time it happened, it kind of got less and less exciting. And to the point where I remember the last kind of injury that I had a couple of years ago, I was playing basketball with Jesse and Hendrika. Were you there that night? With Hendrico as well, playing basketball, and there was a crowd of us, and I jumped for the ball, and I came down, and I'm going to claim that I got the ball. I don't know, but I'm going to claim that I did get the ball, and I came down, and I landed, my foot landed on one of the players' their feet, and just my knee just went the wrong way, and heard a noise, wasn't good, knew it wasn't good straight away, and I remember it hurting so bad. But it's funny, because I remember literally in the pain and in that moment, I remember thinking, well, this is inconvenient. I remember thinking like, man, like this is going to make, I had a manual car at the time. I'm like, this is going to make, I can't drive my car. This is going to make work hard. We got big youth things coming up, different things. I'm just, this is inconvenient right now. If I just hadn't have jumped then, I shouldn't have done it. Like, it's just inconvenient. Have you ever felt like that in your life? Something happens to you, you go through some kind of struggle, you go through some pain in your life, and you just feel, this is inconvenient, and it feels like there's no purpose to it. It feels like there's no reason apart from just going through something hard. You know, maybe you've lost your job, or you've had struggles in your family, or with finances, or any of those things, and you just think, God, what is the point of all of this? You know, we go through things, and a lot of the time we can't see the point of the struggles that we go through. You know, maybe you've gone through a real struggle of losing a loved one in your life, and it's so difficult in those moments and impossible even to see how there is a positive or a point to it all. We start to ask questions like, if God loves me, why doesn't he protect me from this pain? And wouldn't it be nice if when we gave our lives to Jesus, from that day, just we never suffered any pain, we never went through any hardships? That would be lovely. But that hasn't been my experience, and I'm sure that everyone else would say the same, that that has not been their experience. We ask a question of, is there a point to this pain? Or is it just something that we have to endure and just survive through until one day we're in heaven? Well, that's what we're going to tackle this morning as we get into the Word of God. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3 to 11. Now, I know you guys have been doing a series, a study of the book of Ephesians, and I know that Pastor Hendrico has been encouraging you to read along in your Bible, so I'm going to do the same. So if you have a Bible here, a physical Bible, or your phone, we're not doing the whole chapter, don't worry. Don't worry, a little break from reading this week, and back to it next week. Hey, Pastor Hendrico. Yeah, there we go. So cool. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. Now, I did watch a little bit of your message from last week, and I know you went on about that you're reading the NLT. Well, for the ESV readers this week, it's a win for you. Oh, there you go. We're going to... Yeah, I like ESV now. I like both of them. I like both of them. But sounds like there's a bit of a divide in Emerge Church Redcliffe. It's ESV against NLT. I'm sure there's a few NKJVs out there. Anyone like a New King James Version? Yeah, there's a couple of nice, there you go. Well, you can follow along. You just have to, if I say something different, it's just the different translations. So, you guys have been looking at Ephesians. This is 2 Corinthians. Just a bit of context around it. This is written by the same person that Hendrico is talking about in communion. The Apostle Paul is the author of this book. And he's writing this in Macedonia. He's on his third missionary journey. And he wrote this about 5-ish years before he wrote Ephesians. So we're getting like kind of the prequel to Ephesians. And he's writing to the church in Corinth, which he actually kind of planted 5 years earlier. We see that in Acts 18, that Paul goes into Corinth, and it says he evangelized, he shared the gospel with the Jews, and they didn't want anything of it. So he went to the Gentiles and to some of the people there, and they got saved. And so the church in Corinth was started, and then now he's written some letters to them, and he is writing another one. So let's pick it up. But something you need to understand about the people of Corinth and like Greco-Roman culture is that they valued and even worshipped strength and status. They held it in very high regard, your status and your strength in society. And so that's important in this passage, because as Paul writes to them, he is showing them that though they value strength and status, God isn't as much worried about our strength and status as we heard in communion. He's very comfortable in our weakness. He's very comfortable in our weakness. So he's intentional about that. So let's read it. Get your Bibles. 2 Corinthians, can be on the screen as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." There's a lot of comfort in this verse. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently, everyone say patiently. Isn't that something we need to learn in life? Patience. I feel like as long as I live, I'm going to need to keep on, God, give me more patience. Because God does not always work on our timeline. God is on his own timeline, and it's the best one. Patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you'll also share in our comfort. Verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." I just want to hang there for a moment and let that sink in. You know, sometimes we can read the Bible and just kind of skim over things and forget that this is a human being who's written this. But Paul is saying that he believed that he was going to die. He was suffering in this moment. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. The title of my message this morning is "There is Purpose in the Pain." There is purpose in the pain. Turn to someone next to you and say, "There is purpose in the pain." There is purpose in the pain. We all go through pain. We all go through struggles in our life. It's a given. There's no way to avoid it. If you try to avoid pain, that's only going to cause pain. We all go through it. But God gives purpose to our pain. Now, I'm not saying that God gives us pain so that he can give it purpose. Sometimes God allows things to happen, but he doesn't make it happen. But he does give it a purpose. Nothing is wasted with God. Nothing is wasted with God. God will use the worst thing that's ever happened to you and give it purpose in your life. We see it all throughout the Bible. We see it with someone like Joseph. Joseph, who goes through terrible things, who suffers great pain, but God gives it purpose. We see it in this passage with Paul, who goes through great pain and suffering, but God gives it a purpose. And most of all, what I'm grateful for is that Jesus endured a great pain and suffering for the greatest purpose, and that for our benefit. God gives purpose to our pain. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love and your mercies for us that are new every morning. Lord, I just pray this morning with the number of people in this room, I know that there's people who've endured great pain. Lord, they've endured in their life that they wear the scars for now. And there's some people that right now are going through tough battles, severe pain, Father. Lord, pain in their body and pain in their mind, Father. But I thank you, God, that in these moments of pain, Lord, you not only give it purpose, but Lord, you help us through it. So this morning, I just pray you'd speak to each one of us in our circumstances. Holy Spirit, you would just give me the right words to say, to bring out what your word is saying in this scripture, Father. Lord, I pray that no one would feel judged, no one would feel belittled in their pain, but Lord, they would feel your tender love and mercy in this place this morning, and that you would receive all the glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 You know, each day I finish work at a different kind of time every day. That's kind of the nature of working at a church. It's not like a 9 to 5. It is different every single day. And I get home and I unlock my front door. I walk in. And as soon as I step in that door, I have stepped into comfort mode. You know, there's a few different kind of things to know about comfort mode. It's important that you're wearing the right thing. You're wearing comfortable clothes. Anyone have like go-to comfortable, like it could be comfortable shoes, comfortable socks. I have this t-shirt. I don't wear it all the time, but when I'm wearing this t-shirt, I am at my most comfortable. Danielle wants me to throw it away. It's got like a hole here and like there's a few things, different things going on. And I say, Danielle, I love you, but I'm not throwing away this t-shirt. Yeah, there you go. That's my first clap of the morning. And I just switch into comfort mode. You know, I might lie down on the couch for a little bit. That's a little dangerous if I have things to do. Who knows? You know, if you've got stuff to do, don't lie down on the couch because you might not get back up. And I just switch into this comfort mode. But we see as we look at this scripture, as we read just then, that the source of our comfort is not a t-shirt, it's not socks, it's not lying down on the couch. The source of our comfort we see here, if we look at verse 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God." Let's read it, the underline. "And God of all comfort." Come on, let's say it again. All comfort. Not some comfort, not 99% of our comfort, all comfort. Who comforts us in, read it with me, all our affliction. So all comfort for all our affliction comes from God. He is the source. Now, you might be here this morning and you might be thinking, I've caught him out. He's wrong, because I was pretty comfortable when I was lying in bed this morning and I was covered up in the rug. Like, I was comfortable then. The source of all my comfort is my doona. And let me tell you, I did feel that this morning. How hard has it been getting out of the bed for the past 2 weeks? No, week. It's been freezing. It's been so hard to get out of bed. But that is not the kind of comfort that Paul is talking about. That's a temporary comfort. That's not God's comfort. In fact, the word that Paul is in this passage when he says comfort is paraklesis. And it is a Greek word, and it's more than just a momentary relief. You know, like getting into some comfortable clothes or, you know, lying in bed in the morning. It's more than just that temporary relief, but it's also God walking alongside of us and giving us his strength and encouragement as well. There is a deeper comfort that comes from God. It's not just a comfort that calms you, it's a comfort that carries you. It's a comfort that carries you. It doesn't just pat you on the back as you're going through some pain and just say, you know, there, it's going to be all right. It strengthens your spirit. You know, so much comfort that we find in our life is just temporary, but the comfort that comes from God, it gives us strength and encouragement, and it strengthens us in our spirit. And you know, the enemy knows this. The devil knows this. The enemy loves to promise us comfort for our pain, relief for our pain, in things like scrolling on social media or eating ice cream late at night or online shopping or what do they call it when you buy things? Therapy? I don't know. Hendrico's never done that. Retail. I looked over to Jess Albrecht and I was just like, she knows what it is. Retail therapy, that feeling when that package arrives in the mail. Jess knows what I'm talking about. But it's temporary. It's temporary because once you've unwrapped that package, it just goes in the bin and then you have to order something else. It's temporary. And the enemy loves to say, hey, it's all right. You had a hard week. You're going through this pain. Cover it up. You know, with alcohol, with looking at those things that you shouldn't look at, that'll comfort you, but it won't. It's only temporary. It's for a moment. And in fact, some of those things actually end up bringing you more pain than you started with. God's comfort is forever. God's comfort is eternal. And the thing is, what you run to, how funny is that? Just as an email just popped up for an Amazon delivery as I'm preaching this right now. I don't even know what that is. That might have been Danielle. That was a bad... Anyway, let me go on. Do not disturb. God's comfort is forever. You with me, church? God's... I thought this is Redcliffe. You guys are used to Pastor Andrico. I can do that, so it's okay. The fact is that what you run to for comfort in your lives reveals what you believe about who God is. What you run to, if you're running to temporary things, it actually shows, it reveals in you that you don't believe that God's comfort is actually enough for your pain. But it is enough. It is enough. So when you're going through a hard time, when you're experiencing pain, don't fall into the trap of the enemy of drowning your sorrows in scrolling on social media or drinking or watching Netflix or just temporary things. Seek the one who gives all comfort for all our afflictions. Verse 5 continues on and it says, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." We see two things here. We see abundant suffering and we see abundant comfort. See, God never allows a level of pain in our lives that he won't meet with a deeper level of comfort. I'll say it again. God never allows a level of pain that he won't meet with a deeper level of comfort. God has enough comfort for your pain. God has enough peace for the fear that is wrecking your mind right now. Run to the Father and find your comfort in him. Find it in him alone. It even goes on to say that our affliction is for our comfort. And this kind of messes with my mind a little bit because I'm like, the pain that I'm going through, the suffering I'm going through is for my comfort. It doesn't make sense to me, but God gives purpose to that pain that we're going through by, you know, once again, it's not just temporary comfort. This is comfort that strengthens us, strengthens our spirit, that walks alongside of us, that encourages us. We're better off because of the comfort that God has given us. You know, it says here that we share in Christ's sufferings, but it's through Christ that we share abundantly in comfort. We share in his sufferings, and through him, through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we have access to this comfort. You know, I've had a couple of family members where I've attended their funerals, some who knew the Lord, some who, by the grace of God, maybe weren't in church. I'm not sure where they were with the Lord at the last moments, but I know they'd been to some church things. We'd presented the gospel to them, we'd prayed with them, and so I believe, I'm praying that in their last moments, and they'd given their lives to the Lord, but in those funerals, I'm greatly comforted knowing that I will see them again one day in heaven. Isn't that the time where we need the most comfort, when you've lost someone loved, and we have comfort in our salvation? Sometimes I don't know how people who don't believe in life after this, how do they do it? You know, I'm turning 30 this year, you know, a bit of a milestone. And I'm thinking like, I'm not actually freaking out. I'm fine with turning 30, by the way, unlike some other people that I know. There's a few people here actually that I feel like that relates to. But anyway, but it's just like, you know, I'm thinking about that. Life, as we all know, life just keeps going on. It doesn't slow down. And imagine, you know, if you didn't think that there was something afterwards, that this is just the end, how sad is that? How scary is that? That if it's just abyss after this, that's terrifying. But we have great comfort knowing that there is a life after this life. That as we suffer through this life, you know, I don't know if many of you know my mum, but my mum is an amazing woman, but she's experienced a lot of suffering in her life. Lots of health issues that she's endured, lots of hospital visits to try to figure it out, lots of basically them saying, we don't exactly know what's going on, so let's poke you and prod you and try to kind of figure it out. Lots of prayer. She's a faithful prayer. It's not like she doesn't have enough faith to believe for it. But for whatever reason, she's still enduring this pain and suffering and sickness in her life. And she's amazing and taught me so much because through it all, she just keeps saying, God's faithful. God can heal me and I'm believing for my healing. But what she always says, and this is massive to all, God can heal me and I believe he will heal me. But if he doesn't heal me in this life, he'll heal me in the next. She has hope and she has comfort knowing that even if she suffers for the rest of her life with her sickness, that one day she's going to be in heaven. She's going to be dancing. She's going to be jumping around. She doesn't have to suffer. All tears are wiped away. And we have comfort knowing that through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus, that we are saved. And to be honest, you could stop right there. is that's, you know, we could all suffer great pain throughout our lives and just know that we have a heaven that we're going to. We have another life that we're going to step into where all are comforted. But there's more. And if we jump back to verse 4, we see that it's not just for ourselves. God gives purpose to our pain by bringing us comfort. But also, let's read verse 4. It says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we see here that our comfort that we receive through our affliction, through our pain, is not just for us. Not just for us. And that's why we can't just be like, oh, cool, I'm going to heaven one day. Because the comfort that we receive is for us to share with others. And what a privilege that is. You know, my experience is that the people that have endured the most and gone through the most pain are those that have the greatest empathy and compassion for others because they understand what pain is like. And so if you feel like someone who has suffered and gone through a disproportionate amount of pain in your life, I'm sorry that that's happened. Know that there is comfort for you in the Lord, but also maybe God wants to use that to be able to bring comfort for others, to comfort. God doesn't waste anything, remember? He doesn't waste anything. There is purpose in your pain. You know, one of my greatest joys as a pastor is getting to catch up with people, mostly, you know, young adults, and walk them through and kind of help them through or listen to them in struggles that they've been through, especially things that I once struggled with myself, things that I have suffered through in my life when I was a bit younger that God has helped me through, that I've been comforted through. And I love doing it because I've seen God be faithful in my life. When you're in it, it's so hard sometimes to see the other side, but I get to encourage them and comfort them and say, hey, you're going to get through this. God is going to deliver you from this. And so my encouragement for young people or anyone, not even just young people, anyone who's struggling, seek someone that has experienced what you're experiencing. Now, we can often think that we're the only one who's ever been through this, but that is just simply not the truth. That whatever you are going through today, whatever pain you are suffering, there is someone else in this room who has experienced that pain before. There's someone in your life that you can reach out to. But I'll go one step further. I think sometimes when you're experiencing the pain, that you don't want to reach out. If you're someone who has experienced pain, if you have endured things and the Lord has brought you through, God's equipped you with that. That's not just a scar that you need to be ashamed of and hide. That's something that, as we read in verse 4, you've been comforted so that you can comfort others who are afflicted. And so if you've experienced hardships, if you've experienced pain in your life, don't cover it up. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't hide it, but use it to help others. Use it to help others. Your greatest ministry might come from your greatest misery. What you thought was the lowest point in your life could become your greatest ministry in your life. It won't necessarily be on a platform, on a pulpit. It could be sitting in someone's lounge room as they cry and as you comfort them. Now, I realize it doesn't say as you instruct them in step 1, 2, 3 of getting out of it. Maybe if they need instruction, if they ask for it, but it just says comfort. Sometimes people just need comfort, comfort. You know, one of the reasons Paul is actually writing this letter to the church of Corinth is to defend himself, even though he's the one who planted the church 5 years earlier, because some of the people have started to question his kind of status as an apostle. And the reason why is they thought, if he is an apostle, if God's hand is on his life, then why does he suffer so much? Why does he suffer? We have to remember that, once again, this is a culture that valued status and strength. They like big people who are strong, and they conquered, and they did things well. Whereas Paul, he's being beaten, he's being lashed, he's had, you know, gone through all this suffering. It's like God mustn't be with this man because he has suffered so much. And we kind of like laugh at that and be like, well, we obviously know that that was God. He was being persecuted for preaching the gospel. But we can sometimes think that same thing. When we go through suffering, when we go through pain, we start to question, if God loves me, if God has called me, why is he letting me suffer so much? We start to think either God has abandoned me, or God doesn't love me, or God obviously didn't call me. But don't misinterpret pain as God's absence. Don't misinterpret the things that you go through as God abandoning you through this. If anyone has a reason to believe that God had abandoned them, it's Joseph. You know, we see in the story of Joseph that his life was marked by painful moments that easily could have made him feel like he was abandoned. We see that he was betrayed by his brothers and they sold him into slavery. Then he is working in slavery in Egypt and he's falsely accused. He's doing things well and then he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And so he gets thrown into prison. And then even while he's in prison, you think he's at his lowest of lows. And then he interprets a dream for the cupbearer. And the cupbearer says, you know, I'll come get you out. Thank you. I'll come and get you out. And he forgets about him. And so he just suffers and goes through pain after pain. And he could have easily believed like that God had abandoned. He could have said, God, where are you in all of this? But just because God was silent through this doesn't mean that he was absent. Behind the scenes, God was positioning Joseph. He wasn't punishing him. He was positioning him to be exactly where he needed him to be for the calling on his life. And we see years later that Joseph comes face to face with the very brothers who sold him into slavery, who betrayed him, the ones who were meant to love him and protect him. They're now face to face with him. And Joseph doesn't say, get out, you ruined my life. He could have easily done that, but he doesn't do that. He says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. We see it in Genesis 50, verse 20. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. God was with him through it all. God was with him. So we see Paul, his persecution, his suffering, it didn't void his ministry. It validated his ministry. What you are going through doesn't disqualify you from the call of God in your life. Just because you haven't been healed from that illness, that sickness, just because you haven't gotten through the pain that you're suffering doesn't mean God has taken his hand off your life. It shows ever the more that God is with you. It validates it that his hand is in your life. Every single person who's ever been called by God and used, we see it all throughout the Bible, has suffered, has endured pain, including Jesus. So let's not start to think that we're above Jesus, okay? He suffered the most. We see in verse 8 and 9 as we continue on, it says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Like I said earlier, we can sometimes just read through this. I remember when I came to this passage, I had it highlighted and underlined in my Bible. So obviously, you know, I thought this is a verse of value as it continues on. But I think I hadn't really taken this in for what it is until I was reading kind of a commentary about this passage. And someone said that Paul had been through a traumatic event. And I think that kind of like flipped the switch for me. It's like, it's true. Paul, this is a serious thing he's talking about. Yes, he was a great man of faith. Yes, he endured so much for the gospel, but we see here how serious this was. He was a human just like us, and he's saying that it was a burden beyond his own strength. That he genuinely thought he was going to die. The way that it's written shows that he believed more that he was going to die, like that it was certain, than he was going to live. He'd accepted that. And he was at the end of his rope. But even in this great pain, even in this great suffering, there is a purpose that God gives it. As we read on in the rest of verse 9, it says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. The situation was so difficult, he says it was to make them rely not on themselves, but on God who raises the dead. And the way this is written implies that, like I said, he was so certain that he was going to die, it doesn't even seem like they were praying that God would get them out of this situation anymore. He was praying that the God who raises the dead would raise them from the dead after they die. And so they were so at the end of themselves, they just said, God, we can't do this anymore. Lord, you take control. You take control. And I wonder if you've ever been in that position before. Well, you're so at the end of yourself that you just let go and you say, God, I can't do this anymore. God, I can't handle this anymore. I need you to take control. And sometimes it takes moments like that, even though that might seem like the worst moment of your life, even though that might seem like God is so far in that moment, that God, there can be possibly no purpose in this, but it takes those moments to make us let go and fully rely on God, to lean not on our own understanding. You know, I wasn't going to kind of come out to Redcliffe and not tell a golf story with Pastor Hendrico, and so I managed to fit it in here. But as maybe he has mentioned before, we went on a, or maybe I've mentioned it, we went on a golf trip a couple of years ago. A couple of amateur golfers, one of us more amateur than the other. I won't say who, it's me. He's actually gotten quite good lately. And we went on this golf trip, it was beautiful. We went down kind of the coast. I was not a married man at that point. I don't know, that's relevant because otherwise I wouldn't have been on a going on a golf trip with Andrico. And so we went to Byron Bay, we went to Coffs Harbour, we went to these lovely places. It was awesome. It was in winter, but it was quite nice actually. And what happened was I had my glove, I had all the gear and no idea. And I started playing, and if you know, you got your grip, kind of how you hold the golf club and everything like that. And what I found after kind of even just the first day of playing, I'm pretty sure on the first day we played 36 holes, we played 18, and then they let us play it again for free. It was amazing. The blessing of the Lord was there. But playing 36 holes, what happened was I kind of started to get a bit of pain in my hands. And I noticed that there was a bit of rubbing going on in my hand. And then after a while, I was like, man, this really hurts. And I had a look, and I'd broken skin on like kind of one of my fingers from one of the rubbing points. And it was so painful. And this is the first day that we were playing golf, and we had a whole trip ahead of us. And so I was like, oh no, something's going on here. And so I kind of got some, I got some tape, and I just taped it up, and that kind of helped. And that's what I did for the rest of the trip, just taped up my finger so that it wouldn't rub as much. But it was funny because the reason why that pain had come there, we did a lesson later on, and the guy looked at my grip and he said, he's like, you're gripping the club way too tight. You're gripping it way too tight. You need to like let go a little bit, which it kind of felt like counter to what I should have been doing, because I'm gripping it because I'm like, I want to get control. I want to make sure that I'm controlling where this ball went. And in my effort to have complete control of the golf club and where the ball was going to go, in the gripping it too tight, not only was I actually making it harder for the ball to go where it was supposed to go, but I was bringing this pain into my hands. In my effort for control, I actually caused myself more pain. And sometimes it's this pain that we experience in life, the control that we try to bring to it. You know, we step in, we say, okay, God, it's okay, I've got it now. And we grip that steering wheel, we grip that golf club so tight, it actually ends up causing us more pain. But the funny thing is that the pain in my hand from that injury, it actually stopped me from gripping too tight, because it hurt when I gripped too tight. And so sometimes it's actually the pain we cause ourselves that forces us, like Paul in this moment, to let go of the steering wheel and say, God, you've got this. You've got this. There is purpose in our pain. It makes us rely more on God than we have before. If we can have the band up on stage. You know, in verse 8, we see Paul referencing his hardship as a burden too heavy to carry. But we see something interesting if we look ahead to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, 4 verse 16 to 18, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And this is interesting. It says in verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal, preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that we that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so we kind of see here that what Paul once described as a burden too heavy to carry, he now calls in verse 17 a light momentary affliction. And I don't think that Paul changed his mind about what he suffered through. I don't think he just decided between chapter 1 and chapter 4, you know what, that actually wasn't too bad. You know, it wasn't too bad. I think Paul changed his perspective. He changed his perspective on his pain. In light of eternity, in light of the eternal reward that he knew he was going to have one day, the suffering that seemed so large on earth seemed so small in light of eternity. Romans 8:18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. It's not even worth comparing. The worst pain that we experience in this life isn't even worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us in heaven. It's so great. And so we need to get an eternal perspective. Sometimes I think in our pain, we get so caught looking down, seeing the present, seeing the now, what's going to happen next. And we think so temporary. We think so of what's happening in this life now. And the worst thing that we can think is that we would die. But with an eternal perspective, we actually see our death as an upgrade. We're getting a seat upgrade. We're going to heaven. There is a great reward, eternal reward. The glory of the Lord is waiting for us. We need a perspective change sometimes. Maybe you're going through something right now and it seems so hard and it seems like there's no way out. You know, I believe that God will bring you through this in this life, but also remember that there's an eternal glory waiting for us on the other side. You know, you might be here. I'm aware this morning as I'm preaching and as I was praying to this morning that there are people who have been through serious pain, serious, hard things. And you might be thinking, you don't know the pain I've been through. You don't know what it felt like. And you're right. I don't know what it felt like. But the author of this book, Paul, was a man who was very familiar with pain, a man who had been through some serious pain. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 to 28, he lists off all of these things that he'd endured. Like, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers. And it goes on and on about all the things that Paul had suffered and living his life kind of expecting that he was going to die at any moment. Paul knew pain. But even through all those things he'd endured, he would say that the present day pain isn't even worth comparing to the glory that we receive in our eternity. We need to get an eternal perspective. Get an eternal perspective. God gives purpose to our pain by bringing us comfort. God gives purpose to our pain by helping us to comfort others. And God gives us purpose to our pain by lifting our eyes to the eternity that he set before us. So when you're in your darkest night, remember the eternal reward that you'll receive one day awaits you. You know, I want to finish my message up with this. You know, we look at this church of Corinth and we can kind of think like, oh man, they didn't know what they were doing. They were worshiping status and strength. I think in this day and age, we still worship status and strength in some ways, fame, fortune, possessions, the bigger house, all of those things. But I think there's something else that we have added to that list. I think status, strength, and comfort. You know, we want the comfortable job so that we can get the comfortable house and the comfortable car and have the comfortable retirement. Now, I want to just say this. I've got no problem with comfort. For those that know me, I have no problem with comfort. I love comfort. I'm a big fan. Big fan. Thank you, God, for creating comfort. But comfort is not the goal of the Christian. Comfort cannot be the goal of the Christian. If your goal as a Christian is to live a comfortable life, you will live a risk-averse life, not willing to make any decisions, to step out into anything that might bring you discomfort. And that is not the way that God has designed us to live. That is not the way that Jesus called us to live. Our lives are going to be uncomfortable, but that uncomfortable life is an opportunity for God to bring His comfort. You know, we see that the Holy Spirit is called our comforter. You know, I heard someone once say, if the Holy Spirit is called to be our comforter, how is the Holy Spirit meant to do that if we never get out of our comfort zone? There's no comfort to be given if we don't get out of our comfort zone. And so don't make your goal comfort. Make your goal to bring glory to God. And that's sometimes a little bit uncomfortable. That means sometimes having a conversation with someone that makes you a little bit nervous, inviting someone to church, telling someone that you're a Christian and leading, praying for them and, you know, believing that you're going to lead them to the Lord. It can be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But giving glory to God is our goal, even if it means that we get out of our comfort zone. But the promise that God gives us is He is the provider of all comfort in all our affliction. You know, the way we can give glory to God in our discomfort, in our pain, and in our suffering, it's how we respond to those moments. Our response to those pains can be the shining light of Jesus in our worlds. You know, when you're in your workplace, if something happens, if maybe something negative happens, you go through some pain, you go through a struggle, how you respond in your workplace, people see that. And the way you respond can either make you just fit right in with the crowd, or it can give glory to God. It can show them that there's something different about this person. How you respond in your family. You know, if you have people in your family who are unsaved, who knows, like, you know, family are the best at pushing buttons. They know what to do. They know what to say. But how you respond to those things in the suffering, in the pain of those things, that can either draw people closer to God or you can just fit right in with the crowd. And so make the goal of your life not comfort, not an easy life, but a life that gives glory to God. Don't let your pain have no purpose, but let God bring purpose to your pain. As we close this morning, I want to give an opportunity to anyone who doesn't have a relationship, who hasn't declared Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, all through this message, we're talking about our pain, our things that we endure. But Jesus endured the ultimate pain. Not just the physical pain of the cross, but taking on all of our sin and all of our shame. And it was not without purpose. It was for our gain. That through His purpose, through His pain, the purpose is that we would be saved, that He would take on all of our sin, all of our shame, and that we could spend eternity with Him. And I'm so thankful that Jesus would do that for me, and He did it for you as well. And so with all eyes closed, with every head bowed across this place, I want to give an opportunity that if you want to step into relationship with Jesus, you want to receive the comfort of the Lord, you want to have a promise of an eternal reward in heaven, all you have to do is pray a prayer declaring Jesus as your Lord and Savior and inviting Him into your life. And so if you're in this place and you want that, I want to encourage you. He knows your name. He sees every tear that you've cried. He knows the pain that you've been through. And He wants to have a relationship with you. So if you want that, if you want to declare Jesus your Lord and Savior, would you just raise your hand right now so I know who I'm praying with? Amazing. I see a hand up the back. That's fantastic. That's amazing. Is there anyone else as I look over the place? Is there anyone else? Come on, church, can we pray this prayer together? And if you raised your hand, I want you to pray this from your heart. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And today, I step into a relationship with you, giving you my whole heart and my whole life. Lord, forgive me of my sins and help me to live in your ways. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Can we celebrate that person? Amazing.